Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, your spirit, thank you, hovers all over the earth, just like it was in Genesis chapter 1. Lord, your spirit hovers upon hearts, minds, upon everyone. But I pray right now, because your perfect will is not that your spirit will just hover. Your perfect will is that your spirit will be upon and be within us. But Lord, your word spoken in Genesis 1, when you said, let there be light, there was light. I say in the name of Jesus, let the hearts of men and women watching this right now, watching later, let their heart be transformed through the entrance of your word that would bring light and understanding. Let the hearts be transformed into a good ground right now that is ready to receive the seed of your word. Your word coming forth now like a seed to the hearts and minds of people and being planted in the hearts, being rooted in the hearts to bring forth and germinate as it takes firm root in the hearts, the good hearts, and bring forth and germinate and bring forth fruit in the name of Jesus. Lord, for your glory, we have gathered again and thank you for your presence in our midst. Again, confirm your word with signs following. Let there be healing. Let there be deliverance. Let there be, Lord, things that only you can do by your power, by your spirit, for your glory. Thank you for everyone joining from all over the world. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you all adoration. Blessed be your name from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. We say, Lord, your name is to be exalted. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. The gospel that Jesus preached. The gospel that Jesus preached. And what is this gospel that Jesus preached? Come with us again tonight from where we were rounding up from last week. All these teachings, systematic teachings, are on the YouTube or Facebook page, which you are actually watching through now. You can backtrack, go back and listen to all the systematic teachings. We started by showing us this gospel that Jesus preached, but it wasn't Jesus that preached first the gospel of the kingdom. It was called the gospel of the kingdom. We saw how this gospel was first preached by a man called John the Baptist. We highlighted what John the Baptist was actually doing by preaching this gospel. What was he doing? He preached the gospel of repentance. When John will speak, we see that in Matthew chapter 3, if you go to 1, verse 1 to 3, or Mark chapter 1, from verse 1 to 5, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, when we, let's look at Matthew. Yeah, that's it, verse 2, chapter 3. If you look at verse 1, let's start from verse 1. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand. See that word, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. You know, when you look at the Jews in those days, they would rather say heaven because of the reverence they had for that name of God. They found it difficult to mention the name Jehovah. So when they want to refer to God, they use the word heaven reverentially. So the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. I used to think it was different until I understood the Jewish history and the culture at the time. And that was why when Jesus Christ came, preaching the same gospel, and also saying repent, as John said, Jesus introduced God. He actually called God Father. The Jews couldn't handle it. The tradition and culture and all the religion and religious leaders of the time and what they thought could not handle that revelation. And that's the main good news I want someone to hear tonight. Somebody needs to hear that God, who is the creator, is not a religion. God is not some abstract. God is the source of all life. But then God is a being. And that's why we as human beings, we were created like him. So we are being like God. God is a supernatural being. He's our Father. He begat us. We were begotten of him. He is the source of all life. He created, when you look at Genesis chapter 1, every human being you see on the surface of the earth, we were all created in his image and in his likeness. Now, what changed? Well, more or less offsprings of God. We were off God. But then what is known as sin, everything not right before God, came into the world and cut every human being off from God when Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, sinned. And by default, that passed on to the entire human race. So we all need to get back into that kingdom of God that is under the rulership, the domain, the dominion of the rule of the king. The king here is the king of all kings, which is God himself. So his kingdom is his domain, the domain of the king, or the dominion where the king has rule, authority. So sin cuts us off from this. But then for us to come back into that kingdom, we need to repent. So that's what John was literally capturing and encouraging and actually proclaiming, that repent, because the kingdom of heaven is here, is at hand. And for you to enter this kingdom, we understood repent means we need a new way of thinking. We need a renewed way of thinking. We need to change our mindset. The way our minds is set upon sin, upon everything that is not right, upon doing things and forgetting God and not having God in our thoughts, our source, forgetting that we all came from God, our source. And we must do things that pleases him. It's like you being a creator or a manufacturer of something, and you, when you look at it, when you create anything, you create it for a purpose. There's a reason why it's created, why you manufacture things. As human beings, we manufacture things, and we don't just create things for creating sake. There's a purpose which that thing manufactured or created is meant to fulfill. So if it's fulfilling what you created it for, you are happy as the creator. But then if it begins to malfunction, you are not happy. You want to fix it. To fix human beings that God created, God wants us back under his rulership, in his kingdom. And that's what John first came to introduce. Repent, have a change of mind, and come into the kingdom. Start thinking like a citizen of this kingdom. Be sorry, abhor every wrong thing you've done. Come back, have a change of heart. Don't just be sorry. Have a complete change of heart and a way of thinking. Change the way you think. Start thinking like someone who is a child of this king in this kingdom. So he was saying that, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And of course, we saw that repentance is not just only repentance. We need to show we have repented. We need to show through our words and our actions. Our words must change. If you've repented, you shouldn't be talking the same way you thought, you spoke. You shouldn't be acting the same way you acted. And the root cause, the root of our words and our actions is our thinking. So if you want to change your actions, you want to change the way you speak, then you need to change the way you think. And that is what the Word of God comes to do, to come and reprogram, reset our thinking. And that is why good news, this gospel, is meant to be sounded, preached, proclaimed. Everyone needs to hear it. I don't need to wallow in sin. I don't need to wallow in lack, in poverty. I don't need to continue to wallow in sicknesses and diseases. Because tonight we will see that John preached this gospel, but Jesus really demonstrated this gospel practically. And I like what Paul said when he was writing to one of the churches, and I believe the church in Corinth. He said that our words, our preaching, was not with enticing words, was not trying to be, showing that we are good orators, or trying to mingle or juggle words and sound poetic, or trying to impress with words. No, but our preaching was with a demonstration of the Spirit of God and with power. This is what Jesus did. And when Jesus did it, demonstrated it, he said, you and I, who come, who receive him, he gives us the power to do the same. And that is tremendous. Anytime I think about that now, I am so happy inside me that what Jesus did, I can do. But then how will I know what Jesus did? I need to go study, read, meditate, and simply do what Jesus did. So let's come with us tonight as we begin to examine the gospel that Jesus proclaimed. And thank you for those who have joined on the Slido. Thank you very much. If we can display the media team, just can you check if we have any comments yet? Let's acknowledge the people who are commenting on the Slido. Once again, the hashtag is JESUS. So if you're on Slido, hashtag JESUS, you can type in a question or comment or participate. And those on Facebook, thank you for joining. Thank you. We see you. I saw before our favorite grandma. Thank you for your prayers. And those joining on YouTube, thank you also. Hallelujah. So if you're on Slido, you can just say, yeah, I am a bearer of good news. a carrier of good news. Okay? And that way we will keep picking up your comments, just to be sure. Thank you for the first comment we see there. I am a bearer of good news. Thank you, everybody. All right. The gospel that Jesus proclaimed. Right. Let's look at it. Come with us right now to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Hopefully next week we will also take time to answer questions. Okay, in-depth questions. But even if you have questions tonight, we would like to tackle those questions and also look at them in-depth next week. So Jesus, let's see what he did. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Now, this is very interesting because this what we are about to read now was something, was like more like a reaction of Jesus. Because if we read verse 12, John, who was preaching the gospel before Jesus, telling people to repent and baptizing people. The baptism was just to show that people heard the message and are ready to change the way they think. And he told them, we need to see the fruit. If you have one coat, give to somebody. You have two coats, give one to another. If you're a tax collector, stop taxing people and taking more. Tax collectors in those days were very corrupt. They will take more tax from people, embezzle the tax, and report a few to the government. And the soldiers were violent to people. He was telling all of them what to do. We saw all that last week. All right. Now, listen. Also, John made it clear that he was not the Savior, the Messiah, but that this baptism also, through this baptism, the Messiah will be revealed. Because the one who sent him to baptize also told him, just watch out as people come to be baptized. Anyone you see, the dove, the Spirit of God descend upon, that is the Messiah. So the baptism was also to reveal Jesus. So Jesus himself, like everybody else, also came to be baptized and be revealed, you know, to the world. So this was when, after that, after John was put in prison. If the media team can help us, just go up backwards to verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4 so that we see something, and we can now see the verse 17 in that context to let you see that Jesus more or less like took the baton over from John, who was proclaiming, who came to reveal, the voice of one in the wilderness, who came to prepare the way of the Lord. So verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4, if the media team can bring that up, thank you very much. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. Now, if you read it and you keep reading it, you will see that Jesus went to a place called Capernaum. He went and I was fulfilling the prophecies that had gone before. He went to Galilee. He went and then he now began in verse 17. The Bible tells us, now see, this is amazing. You know, those who captured, the Herod who captured John, put him in prison, thought he had cut off the message of the kingdom. But the message of the kingdom was beyond John. It was a message given to him by God, who is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, who sent him and also showed him how to reveal the soon coming King, which is Jesus, who continued. So from that time, the Bible says Jesus began to preach and to say. Look at this. Preaching involves us saying, because the word preach means to proclaim. What was Jesus proclaiming? I like it. Jesus proclaimed it. He said it. Okay. John also said it. And then John baptized. Jesus also said it. What did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, verse 17. And we will now see what followed when Jesus began to not just preach and to say repent, but how did he proclaim, demonstrate this gospel? So come again with us to Mark chapter 1. Mark is the next book of what we call the book of the Gospels. You know, theologians tell us Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the first book, they call it the Gospels, okay? And when you look at the title, the Gospel according to Mark, the Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to Luke, the Gospel according to John, they all spread, proclaimed, gave account of what they knew, their experience of this gospel, their experience with Jesus. Okay, some walk with Jesus, some did not directly walk with Jesus, but this good news account was passed down to them. And they simply proclaimed it, declared it, recorded it, and captured it to encourage those of us now to also do the same. So let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark and chapter 1. And let's see verse 14 and 15. Jesus now, let's see what did he proclaim. Look at it again in context. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Listen, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay? Listen. When John was put in prison, that was bad news, people. Bad, bad news. Because the whole of Jerusalem, the whole of, you know, the world at the time, they all came to the wilderness where John was. So John was seen as someone from God so much that he was unattractive. Like we said last week, if it was in our time, this guy wasn't looking for followers. This guy wasn't trying to get likes and go viral, say things that people would like and enjoy. No, he was giving it to the people raw. He was calling even the religious leaders brood of vipers. You know, such language, very strong. He did it. He wasn't like wanting people to like his message, because his message, this gospel, can be offensive, people. It's not to go about offending people. No, it's good news. But it will offend our theology. It will offend the way we think. It will offend our traditional ways of thinking that this is what we should do. This is what we ought. This is what's right. This is how our fathers used to do it. So we also must do it that way. No, the gospel comes and upsets, upturns what at times we deem is right. But actually before God is not right. You know, the Bible is clear. There is a way that seems right to man. Before people, some things will appear so right, so perfect, but before God, no. He says there's a way that seems right unto man, but that way leads to destruction. The end of that way is destruction. But the way of this gospel, the end of it is righteousness, is peace, is joy, is salvation, is redemption, is healing, is deliverance, and eternal salvation, where even when we depart this world, we spend eternity. We spend eternity now with our Maker. This is the perfect news that the world should hear and should be proclaimed, that everybody should be a carrier of, a partaker of, and a sharer, you know? So if you were there and you heard that John was put in prison, that's very, very bad news. That's a bad day, I tell you. Bad day at the office. But how did Jesus respond? Cry? Lament? You know, when we hear good news, what do? You know, oftentimes we lament. You want to hear the whole world to hear the bad things that has happened to you. And that's what the world we live in proclaims. Have you noticed how bad news spreads so quickly? But then good news doesn't. But then, like we shared last week, how does bad news spread so quickly? Somebody hears it, tells somebody else. Somebody hears it, puts it on their media page, put it on their story on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, Insta story, you know, whatever. The news spreads. The same way, people, why don't we spread the good news? Use your Insta story and tell the story of what God has done, of what Jesus has done in your life. No one is asking anybody to lie. Say it. I was once a sinner, but now I am saved. I have encountered Jesus. I have peace right now. I've made peace with my Maker. I know if I doubt today, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. There's no uncertainty. I was blind, but now I see. I was depressed, but I heard the gospel of the good news. The Comforter came, comforted me. You know, I prayed, I asked, I sought, I knocked, and the door was opened unto me. Glory be to God. Why don't we spread that so fast? Rather than us struggling to be the first person that will put out the breaking news of something terrible that's just happened. As if we're in a competition to just be a bearer of bad news. Listen, people, repent. And that's what Jesus was saying. And that was his response. John was put in prison. But what did Jesus do? The Bible says he came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That is how to answer the devil. That is how to respond to any negative, horrible, bad news report that you've heard. And I'm saying this to somebody by the Spirit of God. You received some bad report, bad news today. Listen, you hold on to this gospel, the good news that of the kingdom of God. That weeping, you know, part of the good news says, weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. This good news says, you pass through the storm, It will not drown you. The waters, you will not drown. The fire will not consume you. The storm won't blow you away. Listen, Jesus said, good news. In this world, we will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Storms will come. You know, I was reading something, you know, somebody shared. You know, I felt for them, but then I just thought, no, this person needs to hear good news. Don't dwell on that negative thing. And somebody was responding, you know, life is not fair. Oh, after all, life is not fair. Listen, that's not good news. Life is not fair. We all experience, we will all, you know, have things because life, the world we live in, is evil. But then if we all go out spreading this good news and everybody receives this good news and everybody's a bearer of this good news and everybody does good, listen, life will be very good, not just fair. Life will be lovely. Everyone, like John was telling people about the fruit of repentance, you will see that if we all change the way we think, change the way we talk to each other, talk nicely to each other, do things, spread the love, I have something you don't have, I give it to you. I mean, look at the lockdown period when there was a global crisis, 2020, 2021 into 2022. Everybody remember their neighbor. Rich people saw that piling up money and piling up this will do nobody no good. We saw the futility of all these things until you make a difference in somebody's life. God is love. That's what God is. Love your God with all your heart, your might, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the good news. So you had good news, you've had some bad news, bad report. Respond by going for this good news. And you know what? Declare it. No matter what, that is the response. That should be our response and our reaction. Jesus came to Galilee. John was thrown into prison, and he kept on preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. I love that in the gospel. Look, change the way you think. Be ready to drop your old way of thinking and just believe. If I tell you good news, take it as it is. Believe it. Believe it. You know, we have a natural default. Somebody tells you something, you quickly interpret it and think it's something bad. But it's not always the case. You know, I've been a victim of that many times. Somebody says something and then when you interpret it to me, oh, something bad has happened. No. Until you sit down and listen, no. Even if it's something bad, do you know the good news again? He makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Love God. Keep loving God. Keep doing the things that God says. So he says, repent, believe in the gospel. So do you believe? Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. That bad report will turn around for your good. That diagnosis will turn around for your good. That thing that is making you not to be at ease is only working together for your good. That sickness is for the glory of God. That disease, for the glory of God. It will turn around for your good. That's what we're saying. We're not saying God is glorified when bad things happen to us. No, but the bad things can turn around and bring glory to God when we believe, when we embrace it. You know, it's not about being positive. No, it's about believing. We're not talking about power of positive thinking. Thank God for all that. But you know, it's not only positive thinking. Think good. Think good. Good thinking. Okay? Good. Gospel. Good news. Good news thinking. Let's start thinking that way, that whatever comes my way, it's going to turn around, work together for my good. Repent and believe. Let's go to Mark till chapter 4 again. Let's see Jesus. I love what happened in Matthew chapter 4. What was Jesus preaching? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. This is amazing. Look at what Jesus did. Woo! I'm telling you, I saw this some years ago, and anytime I remember it, anytime it comes back to me, anytime I just, you know what, I tell myself, this is what I'm going to do. What did Jesus do? He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. That's number one. Teaching is explaining, breaking things down, right? Making complicated things simple. You know, I was telling my wife, we're listening to, you know, someone explaining something, you know, about prayer and all that. I said, look, as a teacher, I would just look for a simple sentence to put this down so that even that young child will understand. So Jesus will break the gospel, the good news, the scriptures down. He was teaching in the synagogue. Look at his response. And then preaching, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And then this is the powerful one. I love these people. And this is the good news I'm bringing to anyone sick, anyone having battling with any form of disease tonight or whatever time you're listening to, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. He wasn't just teaching, preaching, he was demonstrating power, healing, deliverance. So in the name of Jesus, I have been teaching, I have been preaching, I'm not only proclaiming to you, whoever you are, right now from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, hear the word of the Lord, you are made every whit whole. You are healed in the name of Jesus. This word is sent to you wherever you are this time, whatever you are doing right now, receive and believe that you are healed. I declare you are healed. Listen, I was looking at Jesus and my faith rose up again. A centurion comes to Jesus and says, my servant is at home, sick. This scattered my thinking again, people. It got me to repent, rewire my thinking. This centurion comes. I think we see that. I'm trying to see exactly where it is. I think Matthew, let me try and look at my notes, okay? Sorry, media team, I did not give you this particular scripture. But it happened somewhere in the book of Luke. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Anyway, we will find it if the media team can find it. we get to centurion comes to Jesus. He says, thank you, Holy Spirit. My servant is at home. He's dying. He stops Jesus. And he says, I need help. I want my servant to be healed. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, all right, let's go home. Let's go. The centurion stops Jesus. Listen to this, somebody. This is going to scatter your mindset right now. If your mind is set on what I used to think about faith and the power of God, and also more or less standing, interceding on behalf of somebody that a loved one or somebody you have some form of authority over. This centurion says, Jesus, come to my house. I mean, Jesus, my servant is healed, sick, is dying. Jesus, let's go. I'll go to your house. The centurion stops Jesus. Do you know what he said? No. Oh, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, I am not, Luke chapter 17. Thank you. Sorry, Luke chapter 7. Is in Luke chapter 7. The account is in Luke chapter 7. And the account is also in different places. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, of the Son of the living God. Luke chapter 7, yes. You know, he said, this is what blew my theology. Jesus said, I will come to your house. The centurion said, no, please don't come to my house. The account I'm looking for, all right, is where they had the conversation. Yeah, Luke 7 captures it. But then there's another of the Gospels that actually captures the conversation between Jesus and this woman and this centurion. Luke chapter 7. Okay, let's see verse 6. Let's look at that verse 6. I want to get the exact one. Verse 6. Is that the one? Is it Bible study, people? Let's see. Is it verse 6? No, not this one. Is where the centurion directly was telling Jesus, "I am not worthy." If we can find that, "I am not worthy to come to your house." Right? Okay. Let's look at this. Okay. Let's look at that verse 6. When he was ready not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy." The centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, okay, to tell Jesus, okay? Yes, thank you. I think this captures it. We see the other accounts too. I think the one I read recently was not this particular account. I think it was the Matthew's account or thereabout. Now, he was telling Jesus, "I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." You know what? And that's also why I don't think I am worthy to come to you. But you say the word, and my servant will be healed. Oh, Lord, I am not worthy. So I'm not asking you to come because I am worthy. I'm not asking you to do this for me because I'm a holy man. My servant is sick, is dying. I'm just asking you to do it because you are Jesus and you are preaching the gospel of this kingdom. What did we see in that, Matthew? Jesus thought, Jesus preached, Jesus healed. That was a demonstration of the power of the gospel. And here comes a man who was not worthy. And if he's not worthy, I don't think that servant too was worthy. And all he said, "Please speak the word and my servant will be healed." He even predetermined what will happen. And why could he do this? He said, "Because I understand authority." I understand authority. Because I am a man who is under authority. So I've got the authority of the government that bestows upon me. As a centurion is a leader among soldiers, at least 100 soldiers this man commands. That's where you hear the word sent. Sent is 100. So at least when you hear centurion, they command at least 100 soldiers. Says, "So I have soldiers under me. All I need to do, because of the authority bestowed upon me, is to tell, say to one, go, he must go. Come, he must come." So I understand that you have that authority. So it's not the way the soldier feels. You know, if I tell the soldier to go, he can't tell me, "Look, I don't feel like going." No, it's authority. Words, the power of the words. The Bible says where the word of a king is, there is power. Power. So just release that power through words, Jesus. "Don't come. I'm not worthy." That will offend, scatter anybody's theology. And I'm saying to somebody tonight who's feeling unworthy, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. In the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, receive, believe this gospel, and what you believe. Jesus said to this centurion, "I have not seen faith. I have not seen faith like this before." And you know what? "Just as you say, be it unto you according to your faith." What you have believed and what you said, let it be. That's what Jesus was telling this man. Listen, this is a good place to close tonight. Jesus thought, preached, and healed. The gospel Jesus was preaching, captured aptly in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about Look at the word. Doing. Doing good. And Acts chapter 10, verse 38, if you can bring that scripture up, please. He went about doing good and healing. Please, media team, bring it up. I want people to see this as we close tonight. We begin to pray. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Right, let us pray right now with a few minutes we have left. Is there any evil that is happening to you right now? Is there anything that is not good in your life? I want you, like the centurion who understands authority, to say, Lord, speak your word, and I've had your word. And I'm speaking that same word to you tonight, that whatever evil is happening to you, whatever oppression you are going through right now, ceases to operate in your life. The good that has eluded you begin to experience, the good has eluded you, begin to experience good in the place of evil, in your spirit, in your body, in your soul, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. I rebuke, I resist, and command every evil hand upon your life, upon your children, upon your business to be removed now. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. Every oppression of the evil one over your life ceases because of the news you've heard tonight, this word you heard tonight. In the name of Jesus, I say the Spirit of God is with you. The Spirit of God that is upon me, I declare to you through the great grace, double grace, exceeding grace that is upon my life. The great power, the great grace and abundance of grace be released to you in the name of Jesus. Let everything begin to experience the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus that you heard tonight. Everything that is dead, come back to life. Anything that was meant for evil, walk around, turn around for good now. In the name of Jesus, that letter turns around for your good. That report turns around for your good. That message turns around for your good. I say great favor, exceeding grace. In the name of Jesus, great wonders, great miracles you begin to see and experience right now. I declare grace, mercy, and help of God is available to you. Embrace it, receive it, experience it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, I release blessings, the blessing of the Lord that makes rich without any sorrow. Begin to experience the riches of God's grace right now. Begin to experience the redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins. I declare the full benefits of God upon your life. All your iniquities are healed, all your sins forgiven, and in the name of Jesus, the full benefits, you are restored, made whole. Sins, iniquities forgiven, and in the name of Jesus, every disease healed, every sickness healed. Be removed, be uprooted from your body. Whatever is in your blood, in your system, that should not be there, be uprooted now. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim and declare you healed to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. This is the gospel that Jesus proclaimed, and I proclaim the same to you. And you will experience the power of this gospel. God bless you. Let us hear your testimony. Hallelujah. Spread that good news. In Jesus' name. Amen.